Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I tell you, little buddy, this whole island is bewitched.
Remember, we were shipwrecked together. Stranded, I'm the fucker I'm home.
Stranded, yeah, I'm on my own. Stranded, welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My co-host is Greg Kot. And if you want to be among the first to hear our bonus podcast, become a Sound Opinions member on Patreon, like Mr. JM. Mr. JM tweets and Facebooks and contacts us on social media. He's an enthusiastic fan with many great opinions, and neither of us
Indeed.
Can actually put together that Twitter and Facebook handle with the real person's
That's
name.
Right.
But Mr. J. M., we appreciate you. Thank you for supporting the show. So the Desert Island Jukebox, I can't top your last intro with the quarter and the you were going on and on. it's a song that we're not going to squeeze in the regular show that we want to share with you today. Give us a little hint of what you got.
Well, we've had a cornucopia of people passing away in recent months. And that, you know, you probably at this point, our listeners have probably read everything you need to read about Jimmy Buffett, including something that I've written on my Facebook page. Please consult that if you wish to find out more about Mr. Buffett. But I want to focus on a singer-songwriter that didn't get enough love in connection with the important role that he played in Jimmy Buffett's career.
Oh, interesting. So you're not going to talk about the lost Shaker of Salt.
No, the Shaker of Salt has been found, as far as I can tell, and been honored properly.
Fans have been leaving Shakers of Salt at various Buffett restaurants. And
yeah.
and there was a piece in The New Yorker last year about the Margaritaville housing.
Yeah.
It's like he was an industry.
Well, you know, I don't use salt on my food. I'm a pepper guy. So,
all right.
You know, I never lost my shaker.
All right. Well, we're going to hear about this Buffett-adjacent artist when we come back in a minute. All right, Greg, we're not going to play a Buffett song, so nobody has to tune out. And I don't mean to insult people. People loved him. Okay, fine. I didn't, but what do you got?
Well, Buffett, you know, he died at 76 on September 1. We know that. And as I mentioned, I've written about him on Facebook. I've written about him in the Tribune when he debuted concert at Wrigley Field, which at one point was a big deal in 2005.
Never had been music there
That's
before.
That's right, until Jimmy Buffett got there. But his connection to Chicago began long before that 2005 Wrigley Field show. His connection to Chicago was primarily forged through his relationship with Steve Goodman.
The legendary folk singer-songwriter.
Late great, right? Died
yep.
in the early 80s. Goodman was died young. But he left behind an incredible legacy. He was friends with John Prine. In some ways, he got there before Prine in terms
yeah.
of getting out in the clubs, getting records out. And they were great friends all their lives.
Jimmy and the Buffett, humor.
Right. Jimmy Goodman related to Buffett's humor
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. But Buffett thought Goodman was just fantastic. And he was just the joy de vivre in Steve Goodman was
mm-hmm.
just infectious. I remember watching him perform many times when I was, you know, a teenager and young adult in Chicago and just going, this is what a performer does on stage. This is how you hold an audience
mm.
with just one person, a guitar, and your personality. And Steve's personality was larger than any room he was in. It was just you wanted to be around the guy. The songs were great. Buffett was famously apolitical, says, I don't do political stuff. What Buffett was to Key West, Goodman was to Chicago. And Goodman, you can't be apolitical in Chicago. He addressed, he took on the politics of Chicago in his songs, you know, whether Linkin Park Pirates or Election Year Rag or Ballad of Spiro Agnew or Chicago Bust Rag. Well, he was talking about what's happening in this city, right?
You know, the city of the Haymarket Riots, the city of Studs Terkel.
Yeah.
You know, and Buffett originally was a working class guy. I mean, I have read in some of the tributes to him about touring and sleeping in the motorhome, and they had an option.
Yeah.
You know, either they could afford to heat it or they could afford to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, okay. And then, you know, to become like, I wound up buying at the grocery store Jimmy Buffett shrimp patties at some point.
Well, early on, Buffett was a fairly well-respected singer-songwriter, but he hadn't really established himself in the Chicago scene. But thanks to people like Steve Goodman, Chicago's folk scene was exploding in the early 70s. The New York scene had sort of died down at that point. You know, it wasn't the same as it was in the early 60s when Dylan and people like that were coming through it. But Chicago was doing really well. Bonnie Kolak, Prine. You know, David Bromberg was hanging around the clubs, and Goodman was just a marvelous performer and songwriter, incredibly prolific. The start of Buffett's connection to Chicago began with Steve Goodman in those clubs in the early 70s, and he loved Buffett's writing. And Buffett covered one of Goodman's songs, Banana Republics, which you would think that's a Buffett song. In fact, I think it was misstated in a number of pieces that I'd read about Buffett that Buffett actually co-wrote that song, because it sounds like he did, right? It's about, it's really about expatriated Americans, you know, living in a Caribbean paradise, right? But he didn't. He had nothing to do with it. He just liked the song and covered it on the album that happened to be the Game Changer, Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes in 77.
And that probably paid Goodman's rent for
paid the rent. He had Banana Republics on that record, and he did a nice cover of it. But again, he sort of toned it down, took some of the edge off. Steve's version of that song is one of the most incisive looks at American colonialism, capitalism, hubris that you could possibly name. I mean, it is just a brilliant, brilliant song. Nothing short of an indictment of that sense of entitlement. You know, these expats looking to exploit the locals in some unnamed Latin American country, right? Some of them are running marijuana. Some are running from the IRS, as the song says. They end up telling themselves the same lies that they told themselves at home. Find that their renegade pesos may buy them cheap sex and rum in these places that they go to. I'm sort of paraphrasing the lyrics. But, quote, none of the natives are buying any secondhand American dreams. You know, they're mistrusted here by the locals. They're seen as invaders, not visitors or tourists, or let alone friends. So it was an incredibly, it sounds breezy and, you know, very kind of Caribbean in its vibe. But it is not that at all in Steve Goodman's telling, and it's a very incisive song couched in this kind of happy music. And Buffett, of course, focused on the warmth of the song, and, you know, Buffett knew some of those characters, and I imagine some of the lyrics were informed by Goodman hearing Buffett tell stories about being a part of that Key West culture in the early 70s, where it was kind of shady, and, you know, people were smuggling stuff, and you know. So that became part of Buffett's persona. That record became a huge hit because of Margaritaville, and he turned it into a freaking lifestyle as opposed to actually, you know, developing the art. Steve Goodman was always about the art. And as a songwriter, he had few peers, and Buffett certainly wasn't a peer, I think. He was more of a, you know, thanks, Steve, for the song. I repaid you for what you did for me by recording that song.
Yeah.
So here's Steve Goodman's original version of the song, which appears on his 1976 album, Words We Can Dance To. Check it out. You can find it on some of his greatest hits compilations as well. Steve Goodman, Banana Republics on Sound Opinions.
Down to the Banana Republics, down to the tropical sun, come the expatriated Americans, expecting to have some fun. Some of them come for the sailing, drawn by the lure of the sea, to cure their daily from living in the land of the free.
That is Steve Goodman. Jimmy Buffett took that song and ran with it. Rest in peace to Jimmy Buffett, but rest in peace, Steve Goodman, whose legacy continues to tower above.
I know who I'd rather have the playlist for. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.